Welcome everyone to the Closing the Gap SMI podcast. I'm here with Dr. Iggy Agel. He's a psychiatrist here at the Midlands Partnership Foundation Trust in Stafford. Hi Iggy, nice to see you.
Likewise.
You're giving a talk about compassionate care at this meeting today, where we're looking at the physical health of people with severe mental illness. For people that are unfamiliar with that as a concept, can you just define that for us first?
Compassionate care drives all physicians, or should drive all physicians' care. When we talk about compassion, however, it becomes difficult to define what exactly we mean with compassion. We have a sense that we understand it, but different people mean different things. There are behavioral aspects to compassion, there are cognitive aspects to compassion, there are emotional aspects to compassion, but how we professionals interpret compassion, how patients interpret compassion may be different. There is not a lot of research done in compassion or what exactly it means. But ultimately, for the patients, what it really means is that genuine connection, that human connection between the patient and the doctor.
And there was a really interesting piece published in The Guardian yesterday by Dr. Mariam Alexander, which really kind of rang true in relation to your talk as I was preparing for this today. She's a liaison psychiatrist working in the NHS, and she said basically it's very hard to do that job and to work within the system and to be kind sometimes. She said she sometimes feels a bit lost, and her recommendations to other people, other clinicians, when they feel lost is, when in doubt, pick the kindest option. What did you think of that?
This echoes a lot with my practice, and it echoes a little bit one of the objectives of the talk today, really, that as individual clinicians, when we're facing with decisions, sometimes they are very easy to make. More often than not, they can be very difficult, and it requires a very careful balancing between many different factors, one of which is kindness and compassion towards our patients. As an individual, sometimes it's difficult to make the kind decision, and that's where I'll be talking also about compassionate leadership, because compassionate leadership should allow the system to develop frameworks and opportunities for the clinicians to make the right decision and the kind decisions. Sometimes clinicians cannot make that kind decisions because the system does not allow them to.
So give us an example of that.
Mainly is the pressures, for example, in acute hospitals, the pressures of discharge patients or not admit them because the beds are extremely limited. That may at times cause, for example, elderly patients to be discharged in the middle of the night when patients are confused and perhaps delirious, to a home that may not be ready for them, when the kindest thing may have been to wait until the morning, but that hours of delay may mean that a bed has been used when somebody else may need that bed, and so on, really. So, but we had a system where the patient may have been allowed to remain in A&E without breaking any hours, to allow for further discussion the following day, and so on. The patient would have been better treated, or their experience of care would have been better.
And we hear every day about crises in mental health services. Do you think it's becoming harder and harder to be a compassionate clinician working in this health service?
It is extremely difficult, because the kindness often requires time, and often requires the ability to build up a relationship. And systems at the moment are becoming very transactional. Our care is very much, I give you something and that's it, until you need something else, I'll leave you. When often what we need is that long-term relationship, and that relational aspect of care is being forgotten at the moment.
You talk about balancing, and you quote Friedrich Nietzsche, which I loved, in your notes for your talk today, talking about the tightrope walker. And you describe working as a psychiatrist sometimes as feeling like a tightrope walker. Tell us what that means.
The tightrope walker, and I'm using a picture from Clay. Nietzsche talk about the big divide between the masculine and the feminine, the Apollonian and the Dionysian. And often we have those the need for balancing between, for example, the use of resources versus the kind action. The use of resources may be seen as the masculine action. That's what we need to do. We only have one bed. I'll use it for this patient because that's it. The feminine may be the kind action. We will be very blind to say we can only do one or the other. It's about how we balance the two of them. And again, going back to leadership, the leadership will be to allow clinicians to be able to discharge that balance effectively.
I'm probably massively oversimplifying things, but for me there's a kind of balancing act between compassionate care and coercive care.
There's an element of that. In psychiatry, the balance between effective care and compassionate care gets complicated by the use at times of coercive practice. We're the only specialty that can treat patients with capacity against their wishes, for example. Practice can sometimes be coercive, even with the best of intentions, and that coercion can be abused or misinterpreted, but that's a very difficult dimension to that balance for psychiatrists. Yeah.
So let's say some people are listening to this, maybe a frontline nurse, occupational therapist, a psychiatrist listening to this interview. What would you recommend in terms of starting points for reading about compassionate care? What are the kind of classic texts and papers that you think would be helpful for people?
I think Paul Gilbert's book on compassionate care, the last edition was in 2017, is a great book to start to understand compassion and compassionate care and all its different dimensions.
Great. Yeah. Thanks very much for joining me. Good luck with the talk.
Fantastic. Thank you.